Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of the human freedoms. To choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's way." This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson. Stay tuned for the next hour as Sue explores the human psyche, what makes us tick, and how to live better, more fulfilled, and more meaningful lives. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. And I was supposed to have a guest today who was Dr. Martin Stern, MBE. Unfortunately, we could not connect. It was a very, very muffled sound coming from London. He's in England. And so I was unable to connect with him. But I thought, let me go on my own. I haven't prepared anything on my own. I have prepared it around his remarkable story. But I thought, let me go on anyway and not tell you so much about Martin, but about survival and the act of courage. Because Martin's story was of a child survivor of the Holocaust. And from going from one terrible situation to another, his mother dying in childbirth, having had a little girl. So, and he and his sister were just moved from place to place, to Riesenstadt and all over. And he will tell your story once we manage to get hold of him on another day. But you know what with what Israel is going through at the moment, it is those stories of courage that we need to understand. And if we look back on the Holocaust survivors, and unfortunately, there are not that many who have been in Auschwitz, Birkenau, places like that. They are not, but the child Holocaust survivors, they are speaking out now. And I found that it's incredibly moving to hear them. And Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, "In keeping silent about evil, in burying it so deep within us that no sign of it appears on the surface, we are implanting it. And it will rise up a thousand fold in the future. When we neither punish nor reproach evildoers, we are not simply protecting their trivial old age. We are thereby ripping the foundations of justice from beneath new generations." And as Israel is facing unbelievable bombing raids all the time at the moment, ballistic bombings coming through to our cities, to our civilian populations in Israel, I think that's what we have to hold on to, realizing that this is a war that is our very survival. And unfortunately, it's awful. And I know that so many of us are questioning it. But when you hear what child Holocaust survivors have gone through, you realize that people in Israel and all of us in the diaspora have got to tap very deeply into our own being and say, how can I help others get through this? And it is in actually reaching out to one another and in connecting that we do heal ourselves and give ourselves permission to cope. Last night at our synagogue, we had a message came out yesterday, I think, from the chief rabbi asking all the synagogues to please have a prayer service for peace in the Middle East and for safety in Israel. And it was good. It was good to be there. It was a very short service, but it was good to be there with other people also praying for the peace, and other people who have got family there and are worried and are not sleeping through the nights because, you know, are listening to news all the time. And it was in that connection that I realized how important it is not to close ourselves off, because it's very easy to do so. And this past weekend, it was Father's Day, and our family all went to a game lodge, and we had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter. And believe you me, we actually didn't really feel like going because we were so stuck on what was happening. But there was time for laughter. And laughter is without doubt incredibly healing. We laughed about ridiculous things. I mean, my husband Leon and my sons and grandchildren went to go and play putt-putt. Well, I don't know how well they played putt-putt, but they certainly had a lot of laughter. And they all came back and there was a lightness about them because they had been able to laugh so freely like that. And someone said to me the other day, how can we laugh when Israel is burning? And the fact is, how can we not laugh? What can we do in this situation in South Africa, or wherever you are in the diaspora, to help our IDF, our families, and all of Israel? What can we do to help them? Obviously, we are doing as much as we can in ways that we are asked to do, but it is in coming together as a community. And also sending messages to one another of encouragement, of just saying, I'm thinking of you. Do you know, you've heard Mari Sukers on my program before, and I received she's part of the Jews for Church of Zion, the Church of South Africa, who are so pro all of our of Israel, and they've been to Israel themselves. And she sent a message out. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought I was the only one who was awake because I was looking at the TV and watching to see where the bombs or the missiles were hitting. And she sent a message just saying, I'm thinking of all of the people that of you and all of Israel. And I thought, how fantastic that she too was not sleeping and was wanting to send a message. But Craig's telling me something. If you have a small business, think about this. Imagine you ran an amazing offer, and imagine Chai FM told 125,000 people about it. Imagine we all posted your special offer on our social media platforms and listed you on our website. And imagine you could do all of that on a month-to-month basis. What would that be worth to you? Chai FM has a special stimulus package for small businesses, and you should get in touch to find out more. You can email info@chaifm.com. Chai FM is chaifm.com. Or you can send or text to +27 61 895 1019, and we'll call you. 101.9 Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of building community businesses.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson, and I'm back on the Finding Human program. If you would like to send a message, please do so on 061-895-1019. It's Telegram. I was thinking about today, and I thought, well, we couldn't get hold of Martin, he's very disappointed not to be on our program, but he will be again. And I thought about Hatikva, hope. And certainly, I was reading an article, and it said, along with faith and courage, it is the secret of our survival. And it says that the Hollywood have us believe a different version of that the physical characteristics of a person are the most important. For instance, size, strength, beauty, etc. We know that the invisible qualities that truly define who and what we are, the integrity, honesty, empathy, kindness, trustworthiness, compassion, etc. There are many more that you could add to this list. These are the essential measure of a man or woman. And that is very true. And it got me thinking about something quite amusing that happened in the game lodge. I'm not a person who goes onto those game vehicles that go around. I absolutely loathe them because I am very non-courageous in a situation like that. And if you ask me, I think the elephants or whatever would probably pick up my negative vibes and probably deliberately try and turn me over or try and turn the van over. But the one scene was very funny. My son videoed it. It was of a baby elephant throwing a tantrum. And my son Mark was absolutely amazed. He thought it was only children that threw tantrums until he saw the elephant children do as well. This was a little elephant, and it was trumpeting and shouting going down the road and obviously throwing an absolute tantrum. Wanted to go one direction. The mother wanted to go another direction, and it had to turn around and go back. And this is the humor that we need to look for. That, I mean, even a little elephant could make you laugh like that, but especially an elephant. And I was with my daughter-in-law, Michelle, and my husband, Michelle was driving, thank goodness, in her car. And we came across this traffic jam in the reserve with one car after another. And of course, all the game vehicles couldn't get past. And they were all pointing to a cheetah that was hundreds and hundreds of meters away. You certainly couldn't see it. Eventually, we managed to get past all of them and left them all standing there waiting for this cheetah. My gosh, we came around a corner. And what was walking right in front of us in the middle of the road, but the cheetah. And it was a very pregnant cheetah. So it was strolling along, obviously enjoying the last of the sunset as the sun was setting, the last of the warmth. And Michelle took the most amazing videos of this cheetah just strolling along, and we had such a good laugh because we thought about the people who were still sitting trying to watch a cheetah in the far, far distance. There was one family, it was a Chinese family, and they had all their cameras out, and they were trying their hardest that you could see there were zoom cameras trying to zoom in. And we wondered if they ever, I think the same cheetah that they were all lined up waiting to see was this one who decided to take a walk further down, about 100 or so meters further down in the middle of the road. That was a real treat. So let's go back to hope, because hope actually came in there. We hoped we would see that, you know, we would see a few animals, especially see when we were going in the car. And we clung to, and there was the cheetah. And that is something, I mean, that's an amusing, easy hope. But how do we hold on to hope when there's so many atrocities going on at the moment in the Middle East? How do we hold on to our faith and our courage? And in the last year, we have certainly witnessed the stunning, absolutely amazing display of both. I was in Israel with my friend Charmaine, and we were there in April, and was it March? No, it was after. Yes, it was March. It was before Pesach, and we were stunned by the incredible resilience of the Israeli people. What about the IDF? The Israel Armed Forces have had to be called up. The reserves are called up, not just for a month, but for 100 days. Can you imagine that? And at the moment, there's extreme heat, and they are there. So we're witnessing their courage, their bravery on a daily basis. And then my daughter, Shira, was saying that, can you believe how many people Israel was opening various routes to get people back to Israel? And it was amazing that all the Israelis were trying to get back to Israel. I mean, because they felt they had to be there. They were feeling pretty useless being elsewhere. And I can understand that, because there's many times that I thought, oh, I would just like to get on a plane and go and do whatever I could to help. I don't know at my age what I could do to help, but perhaps I I could, no, I was going to say bake, but I don't bake. Cook, no, I don't cook. So what would I do? And perhaps it would be to take, to have a few interviews and let people themselves tell us where they are finding courage. And be, in the midst of danger, they are certainly finding courage. And when you think of all the lost comrades, their friends, their family members, they don't, they're still, the reservists and the IDF still never, ever shrink from their duty. They face their fears and with unshakable pride and belief in the future, they go ahead. And that is hope. And you will hear when Martin, Dr. Martin Stern, MBE, who is a child Holocaust survivor, when he talks, it is, hope comes in all the time. And to be a childhood survivor is unbelievable. Many of you have heard Percy on my program, Percy Krause. And now she sent a message the other day telling me about where she's finding courage. Well, she's a Holocaust survivor, and she was saying that in Israel today, that's where her courage lies when she sees how everyone is going on. I'll try and find her message to me shortly, and then I'll read it out to you. So Viktor Frankl talks about hope and optimism, and this was one of the greatest things, and it is visualization, one of the things that helped him most of all. And that was to visualize beyond the horrors of the camps that he was in at the time. He visualized this warm auditorium with people sitting in comfortable seats. And he was on the stage talking about his experiences. Now, to be able to do that, to be able to visualize something like that when you are stripped to of everything, you've got not even your own clothes, not even your own shoes on, no warmth, no food. And yet he was able, and so were many Holocaust survivors, able to visualize a future. And they went on to live a future, which I think is amazing. To have families, and when I was in Poland at the different Holocaust sites, Auschwitz, and I was on the March of the Living with Renee Pozniak and my daughter Shira, we spoke to a lot of Holocaust survivors, and they all said that they survived because they had something that they had to live for, either their family, that they hoped was still alive, or something that they felt they still needed to do in the future. I've spoken about the one man in particular who spoke about that he had thought that, and he had said to God, to Hashem, please, if you save me, I will go on and spread a good news, a good message for the rest of my life, and I will teach about good and evil. And he did. He was saved. And that's what he did. And he was a teacher, got involved with Holocaust education as well. And he managed to survive because he had this dream. And he survived because of that dream, and he fulfilled the dream. He went on to, as a teacher, to teach many, many people. And I saw him surrounded. He was from Australia. He was surrounded by these huge groups of youngsters from all different countries when we got to Israel. And they were all hanging on his every word, which was quite amazing. And then, of course, it was also those people who had never, the Holocaust survivors, who were never able to talk to their own children about what they had suffered. They didn't want to bring that pain into their children. The only problem was that their children knew. You know, the next generation after the Holocaust will often tell you that it was what was not said that was more worrying than what was said. And many of the Holocaust survivors were able to talk to their grandchildren about their experiences, but not to their own children. somehow they had to protect their own children, or perhaps it was just too soon. And I even found that with my own father, having been in in Bomber Command in the Royal Air Force, that he found it very hard. I often heard him speaking to his friends who had similar experiences. But to my brother and I, he only told us the good parts, except that he did tell us who we should never trust. But apart from that, he told us about the camaraderie, how they did manage to survive, how they all waited for one another to at night, as he especially as a squadron leader, to make sure his whole squadron got back safely. And you can imagine the sorrow and the heartache that they must have all lived through because of so many losses. And that's what's happening in our IDF at the moment, in all spheres of the IDF. They're all mourning their comrades who have not been able to come home. But they still go on. And as I said, they still are coming back to Israel. That I found amazing. So what is courage about? What about our courage of every day? It's certainly not only the IDF who embody this unbelievable quality. So many others, just normal citizens, do. And I was reading an article about, it was on one of the Israeli posts, and it was about a bakery. And all of a sudden, the sirens went off. I think they were in Jerusalem, or perhaps it was Tel Aviv. Anyway, the sirens went off, and they hadn't closed the doors yet for the end of the day. The sirens went off, and they quickly went into the bomb shelter. After the bomb shelter, they were told, once the all clear sounded, that they needed to stay next to the shelters because they were expecting more. So they all decided just to knock off duty. You know, the owner of the bakery as well, they all went home. Anyway, the next day when they went back to open, they hadn't realized that they'd forgotten to lock the front door. Well, the picture is of a whole lot of notes, all in Hebrew, written saying what people had taken, because people had arrived there, they'd seen the door open, they walked in, there was no one serving at all, so they served themselves and all left these notes telling people what they had taken and how much they owed. I mean, where on earth would you ever see that happening? I don't think in South Africa. Maybe I'm wrong. I would love not to be wrong. But I thought, there's a particular site, a good news site of good news coming out of Israel. And I like to go into that every now and again, because it definitely does show you there's a better side as well. I mean, can you imagine just leaving the door wide open and coming back and your shop is not ransacked, it's not stripped of every single thing that was there. People had all, I mean, there were these bits of paper put all over the counters. It was hilarious to see. And that is actually very encouraging, because it shows that people are keeping their sense of what is right and what is wrong all the time. And that was fantastic. So we in the diaspora are being asked. Whoops, sorry. I think that's
only on 101.9 High FM.
Sorry, that was actually from Martin. It suddenly popped up on my telephone, on my cell phone. Sorry about that. Poor Craig is sending me these desperate messages saying no, 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 no. It is a bit confusing today, Craig, I must admit. So let's go back to Hatikva and hope. And let's all just say, let's hold on to hope. I know that at the moment Trump has saying that he's going back to America. And who knows what the next hour even will bring. We do not know. And we are being asked to go forward with whatever we can in whatever way we can. And Abraham Maslow said, at any given moment, we have two options, to step forward into growth or to step back into safety. And at the moment, we are asked to step forward into growth. And we are all being asked that. And we must not cut out our non-Jewish neighbors. I think that's something that we all have to recognize. I'm getting messages all the time from so many people of all different faiths saying, we are thinking of you and we are praying for Israel. We're praying for the safety of Israel. Let's hold on to that. Let us look at how we ourselves can reach out to others, not only of our own religion, but of other religions as well. And let them speak to us. We also need to look at what we can do creatively. You remember what Viktor Frankl said about the different ways of finding meaning, of the creative things that we can do. What can we do creatively? Many people have said that what they have found unbelievably helpful is in writing at the moment. Others listen to music, and in the music they are healing. Others find healing in the garden or in art. And what gives you meaning? For me, I find a lot of meaning in my family, but I also find great meaning in seeing my friends, in talking to them, in sharing times with them, and in also just smiling and laughing, being able to do that with them. You know, we all have our own blind spots at the moment, and it's the blind spots are so often stopping us from seeing what is good around us. It's very easy for us to say, especially here in South Africa, with our government, the ANC having taken Israel to saying that we are Israel is a genocide country, is committing genocide. It's very easy for us Jews in South Africa to say that this country has forsaken us, but we must look far, far bigger than that. The ANC is a very small group who might, you know, and certainly not all, even all of them are against us. And that's what we need to do. We need to look at our own blind spots and our own biases and put them aside. Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. It's fast, it's affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem pharmacies, because better health starts.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program, and I'm back with you again. And as I said, I was supposed to be having Dr. Martin Stern, MBE, on my program. Unfortunately, we could not connect, so you've got me. I told you about the Holocaust survivor who I had had on my childhood Holocaust survivor who I'd had on my program before, and about a message she sent to me. And I'm sure she won't mind me reading it out. She says, "Dear Sue, what a night. Kids slept me from Jerusalem, where my miklat, her bomb shelter, is down 8 flights to our bomb shelter, to their home in wherever they are. I'm not going to mention where they are, where the room that she sleeps in is actually the bomb shelter. And she says that it's actually the miklat for all, it's a bomb shelter for all. And at 3 a.m. and 5 a.m., there were warning signals and earth-shattering booms every time. She said we all jumped involuntarily. And eventually they got out of there to find that there was such shattered glass everywhere. And she said her son said that it was her Kristallnacht all over again. But she said there was a huge difference. She did not have to flee Germany. And she in her mother wrapped in her mother's arms. And she said, no, Baruch Hashem, thank God we have our own country and our army. And I am surrounded by friends not fleeing, leaving parents behind to their certain fate. She said, yes, we are definitely not in a perfect state. We are praying for our hostage release and our soldiers' safety and the healing of all the broken hearts and for our losses. But we all know we will prevail, fighting the world's new order battle. And she says, Am Israel Chai, Israel lives, sending you a fond and vigorous greeting of shalom, peace. I mean, that is somebody who came out of the Holocaust as a child, I mean, a child Holocaust survivor, running from country to country, knowing no security. And there you are. That's what she says. That's where she wouldn't like to be anywhere else. Now, you know, I'd like to just go back for a moment to our own blind spots. And Daniel Kahneman says, delusion is what you see, you think is what is. And how often, actually, our minds are like this, that we think that everything is as we see it. But that's delusion. So what we are seeing playing out at the moment in Israel, in Iran, in America, wherever we happen to be, is an illusion. So often there's so much going on behind and behind it all. So what are we doing about it? How, what bias are we holding on to? What is our identity? Let's all strengthen our identity, whatever your beliefs are or aren't, whatever way that you can hold on to something that is meaningful to you. That is what is a good idea. I would love to hear what your different creativities are. And I know that for my daughter in Israel, art is her creativity. That's where she finds healing. But what the other thing that absolutely always amazes me, and I'm going to mention this again, is that about Israel's is high in the World Happiness Report. And do you know, I actually believe that already it's I mean, even now it's probably high. Unfortunately, or some people might say otherwise, but the Gay Pride Parade was supposed to be on last week in Tel Aviv, and many people of all different persuasions were going to Tel Aviv to the different parties and deciding to have fun. Of course, it was cancelled. And many people were very fed up about that and actually were stuck in Israel then, not being able to get out. So hopefully most of them are out by now, but the flights are still cancelled. So how can a nation whose citizens at the moment are constantly running to shelters, how can they even be one of the happiest countries? And I don't know if you've heard the sound of those air raid sirens. Oh my word. And those come at night, especially when there's no traffic. They just pierce through the night. That's a terrible sound. But there you are the next day. After that, right now again, they did another happiness report. And they found that the following morning, here I was reading this, the jarring sound of air raid sirens, here we are, pierced through the night, jolting me and my family from our sleep. We rush to our homes, bomb shelter, a routine that has become all too familiar for many Israeli families. As I sat in that reinforced room, surrounded by my loved ones, I couldn't help but contemplate the unique reality we live in. The following morning, as I scanned news reports to understand the extent of the night's events, I encountered two starkly contrasting pieces of information. The first was a CNN report, which was highlighting Israel's impressive ranking as the eighth happiest country in the happiest countries of 2025, a report, and America was ranked 24. So here we were, Israel was the eighth happiest country. It showed this tiny little dot of a country and showed the previous night's attacks. Well, it was covered, the entire Israel was covered with different attacks. So it's still there. And why? We need to ask why. I think it is because of the connection with one another. This goes on to say, central to understanding Israel's paradoxical happiness is the Jewish concept of Gam Zu Latova. Judy Moritz, you would probably correct me with that pronunciation, but it means this too is for the good. This phrase isn't mere positive thinking. It's a profound worldview, and it has very deep roots in Jewish tradition. It goes on to say, the Talmud tells the story of Rabbi Nachman, from whom this phrase originates. No matter what difficulties befell him, and many did, he would always respond with Gam Zu Latova. This too is for the good. His unwavering faith that everything contains purpose, even if we cannot immediately see it. And this is a Jewish approach to adversity. Thank you, Craig.
This is Finding Human with Sue Jackson, only on 101.9 High FM.
Hello, this is Sue Jackson on the Finding Human program. And you've got me back here today on my own because Dr. Martin Stern, MBE, could not be with me today. We just could not connect. But I also got a message to say the South African Friends of Israel are praying for us all. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. I see a message has come through, I think, from Judy. Yes. So Judy Moritz says, you are magic and you read it beautifully. It's Gam Zu Letova. Thank you, Jude. This too. I like that. This too is for the good. Thank you. Now, you know, it goes on to talk about the uniquely Jewish position on positive psychology, and that it aligns with ancient Jewish wisdom, this modern positive psychology, and the concept that the remarkable human capacity, which is very much Viktor Frankl's idea as well, to find meaning, purpose, and even joy amid difficulty. It echoes what has gone through traditions after traditions of Judaism for millennia. And the Torah teaches us that it's our response to life's inevitable challenges that actually defines us. So what is a uniquely Jewish thing? And a uniquely Israeli perspective I'll talk about just now, but a unique thing is building strong community bonds, the support system that ensures that no one faces difficulties alone. This is great, of course. That's why going to the prayers last night, it meant we were together, finding meaning through challenges. So in other words, seeing that there is even a purpose in our struggles and how can we turn it into a meaning. And then practicing gratitude. Once again, Judy, there's a hakarat hatov, acknowledging the blessings that remain even in difficult times, and developing perspective. So it's gaining wisdom through the overcoming of adversity. And I think that's what we can learn from our Holocaust survivors, how they have lived beyond what they went through. They have brought up further generations, and I'm in constant contact with Sarah Goodman, and she gives me pieces of wisdom all the time, also as a child Holocaust survivor, and what she went through and what she's going through now in Israel, and it's just too wonderful. And thank you, Sarah, for actually always showing me how you and others like you overcame adversity. And then they talk about Israeli perspective. I'm being told to wrap up, but I've got to just say this. Perhaps what the World Happiness Report is really capturing is something much, much deeper than the threat of war. When our loved ones, those who are in Israel listening in, when you rush to shelters, the neighbors check on the elderly residents. I saw someone saving a dog from the rubble the other day and holding this dog and trying to calm it down. And how the volunteers immediately mobilize. This is part of the Israeli fabric, and it strengthens in response to unbelievable challenges. We saw it on the 7th of October, and we've seen it since then. I would like to end by just saying, please, God, let our hostages come home safely. Let this war end and our wonderfully brave IDF come home. And to all of you in Israel listening in, I send you my love. I would like to end with this from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. There always were two ways to live in a world that is often dark and full of tears. We can curse the darkness, or we can light a light. And as the Hasidim say, a little light drives out much darkness. May we all help light up the world. May we all continue to send our lights to the people around us, to the people in Israel, and to all our loved ones and our friends and our neighbors. Thank you so much, Craig, and thank you all for sticking with me today.